My name is Chelsea Crawford. I'm from North Carolina State University, and I'm working on a project about how organic growers learn. And I want to first acknowledge my co-authors on this project, Dr. Grossman, who just spoke, Dr. Sarah Warren, and Dr. Fred Cubbage, who are in the Environmental Science Department at North Carolina State University. Okay, so first of all, these are my preliminary results to my study. And it's a little bit different than what we've heard about already so far. It's more qualitative in nature, and it's based on interviews with organic growers across the state of North Carolina. Okay, so just a little bit of overview. I'm going to go into some background to set the stage and give you some context for the reason why I did my study. I'll speak about my methodology, my findings, and then potential implications. Okay, so since 1978, the total number of farms in North Carolina has been on the decline. Since 2002, certified organic farms has been on the rise in North Carolina. So clearly there's an increase in the amount of organic growers in North Carolina, and there's a need for reliable and accessible sources of information for those growers. Okay, so I think we're probably all familiar with this concept where research is conducted at the university, it's given to Cooperative Extension, and then that information is given to growers to apply. On the right, you'll see what I'm finding in the literature and is more of an interactive, dynamic flow of information. Okay, so what's the purpose of my study? I want to find out how organic growers are learning about alternative production techniques such as cover cropping. Like I mentioned, I'm using cover cropping as my model system. And then to figure out which is the most effective source for them on that. Okay, so as I mentioned, I interviewed growers across the state of North Carolina. And my interviews ranged in length from 20 minutes to an hour and a half. But I asked all the same questions of all the growers. So some went into more depth than others, some were more conversational. But I got all the same information from each. And then I spoke with a few extension specialists beforehand. Now, in order to analyze my data, I used a qualitative analysis program called Atlas TI. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that, but it is a way to kind of help you code qualitative data, apply codes to segments of text to kind of break it down and make sense of it. And then in some ways it helps you quantify your data. Also at the end, you're able to use graphics and network views for theory building. Okay, so here's a map of North Carolina. And in gray, you see all the counties that I visited. There are 17 there. The dark gray are counties that I visited twice. Light gray, I visited once. Also, I want to mention here that there, as Dr. Grossman said, there are distinct ecoregions across North Carolina. There's the coastal plain region, central Piedmont region, and then the western mountainous region. So I wanted to get somewhat representative samples within each of those regions. So that drove my sampling procedure quite a bit. Okay, so this is a chart of all the information sources that were cited by my growers. As you can see, the chart is sorted by most effective sources, with networking and education being the two that were cited the most as the most effective sources. And then in the blue there, you can see the moderately effective sources listed by each grower. And then on the left side, which looks purple on this screen, would be the less effective sources for growers. But I will make the point that growers were citing multiple moderate information sources and just one most effective source and one least effective source. To ensure validity at this point in the data gathering process, I asked each grower a series of four questions to try to get this information from them. I asked them the original information source they used to learn about cover cropping. I asked them any additional sources they've used. And then I asked them to kind of rank the most effective and the least effective sources. So this is the crux of what I've found so far. Networking and extension coming out or excuse me, networking and education coming out as the most effective, and online and extension coming out as the least effective for these particular growers. So I wanted to pull out some quotes about networking because this is, you know, this is what the farmers are saying to me. So as you saw, networking was pretty highly ranked, and I wanted to show, you know, exactly what they're saying. They're talking about speaking with other farmers, neighbors, conversations, experience, and just networking in general. And this is a very small set of the networking quotes, just so you know. So here are a few quotes about extension. And although extension was ranked lower as an information source, there were mixed responses about extension. Some raved about extension, and some said, well, they kind of have limited information about organic production. So I'm having to search for these information sources on my own. So this last quote actually really sums up the situation in North Carolina. This is from a split operation grower who is partially conventional and then partially organic. And he's saying that he's not really going to conventional or to cooperative extension to learn about organic production, but just about conventional production. Okay, these are the key variables that I looked up. I wanted to find out how these variables were correlated with each information source, or if they were at all. So I put ranges here for farming experience, history, certification type, acreage, and geography. Each of these I tried to get a representative set of producers within each category, with the exception of farming history. That one, I want to note, was slightly skewed towards originally organic producers. Okay, so the next few slides are going to be pie charts like this one, just showing how the most effective information sources are linked to different variables. So this one focused on experience. So how does experience impact information sources? So you can see that the more novice growers are using organizations and educational resources, while the more experienced growers are tapping into networking more to learn about cover cropping. So that's an interesting trend there. As far as certification type, there's a similar trend. Certified organic growers are tapping into networking more, while non-certified are using organizations and online sources, and also, you know, a diverse set of other ones. As far as geography, networking seemed to be a lot more important for the growers in central North Carolina, whereas in western and eastern North Carolina, they have, you know, they're pretty much split with the other sources. And this could be potentially explained by more cities in central North Carolina, proximity to those urban centers. But that's actually what I'm going to be looking at for my discussion. I haven't written that part up yet, so now I'm just showing my results. Okay, so to sum up, I think it's just important to identify which information source is the most effective for these growers so that we can disseminate that information to them effectively. I think that networking and education coming out as the most effective source is really central to what I've found so far. And that's it.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you don't get to escape yet. There is time for questions quite a bit, so ask away, and then if there is any time, we'll go back to the few speakers who didn't have time to have any questions asked. So, Chelsea, okay. You got one back there.
Did you mention, or did any of your interviewees mention e-extension or e-organic?
They did not mention e-organic specifically. I'm familiar with e-organic just from my own research, but most of the online sources were talking about like ATRA or what else was a main one? Rodale, things like that, other university websites. So, yes.
What do you think of these odds imply for the future of e-organic or ways to develop it? I mean, it's a kind of new tool, but
it is a new tool. That's a good question, and I'm not sure if I'm qualified to answer that one. But I'm hopeful for e-organic. I'm excited to hear the talk about it later on today. Yes.
Okay.
was wondering if the numbers of the existing organic certified or non-certified impacted the response of your clientele.
You mean in terms of the...
In other words, the relative numbers of certified, organic, or non-certified, how did they impact your response?
Yeah, I'm not sure yet about the differences in the certified versus the non-certified.
How easy the information disseminate if you have a large number of organic versus non-organic producers.
Right, and I think, well, let's go back to that slide, actually. Let's skip it. Is this what you're talking about, this slide?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have 11 certified organic and then 9 non-certified organic. Are you asking about the sample size, or?
Well, I was going to say sometimes when you have a larger community doing the same thing,
yeah,
the information disseminates faster.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, I'll think about that when I write it out. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Do you feel the numbers would change if you had a much larger sample?
Yes, and that's a good question, and I thought about that a lot. With qualitative research, it's all generally a much smaller sample size just because of, you know, as I mentioned, the interviews are 20 minutes to an hour and a half long. Analyzing that data takes a very long time. That's just kind of generally sample sizes for qualitative data is between 20 and 30, just to get that rich, context-worthy data.
Right.
Is that it?
One more quick one, and then we'll jump to Julie.
Did any of your interviewees comment on the reliability of their information?
Did they comment on the reliability of their own responses?
Of their information sources.
They did, but not in any kind of quantifiable way, so I didn't really touch on that since I was already looking at so many variables. But that would be important to look at, I think, in the future. That's a good point.
Nice job. Okay. We're going to move on.
All right. Thank you.